I'm sure we all want to be blessed. And that's a good thing, to be blessed by God, because the more we are blessed, the greater blessing we will be to others. The more we receive from Him, the more we have to give to others. So it's good to be blessed, to be fulfilled. And of course, the best way to be blessed by the Lord is to bless the Lord. It's good, it pleases us when we know that God is blessing us. And if we're going to bless the Lord, we're going to please the Lord. Either we please Him or we grieve Him. So it's much better to live to please the Lord than to grieve the Lord. And of course, we will please Him by fulfilling His will, His purpose for our lives, both individually and corporately. What God wants to do during these 28 days is to take us to a place in our faith where when we pray, things happen, and they happen immediately, and they happen in a mighty way. So the issues in our lives that have needed to be resolved for a long time will be resolved. Issues in the lives of family members and of others for whom we're concerned, there's going to be major breakthroughs and changes and transformation because of what God has done in us in terms of faith and being able to please Him, and therefore being able to receive all that He wants to pour into our lives by way of blessing. Now, if we're going to please the Lord, it's going to be by fulfilling His will. So if you have your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to speak for a little while this evening to really set the scene, not only for what God wants to do tonight, but what He wants to do in subsequent nights. Every night will be different because we'll be meeting with the Lord in different ways. But we need to begin with His Word, because everything that God does in our lives, if it's going to please Him, is going to be the outworking of His Word. Verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. How will we please the Lord? By fulfilling His pleasing will. What needs to happen in us so that we can do that? Our minds need to be renewed. In other words, there needs to be a change in our thinking. Jesus said on a number of occasions, according to your faith, it will be done to you. Now, actually, that's another way of saying, according to your thinking, it will be done to you. Hello? Because if you don't think faith, you won't speak faith, you won't pray with faith, and you won't act in faith. So the whole business of faith begins in our thinking. And what Paul is saying here is that for that to happen, our minds need to be renewed. Now, God has given us spiritual weapons that are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, and we are to take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. Now, I not only talk to you, but I talk to myself when I say, how many of your thoughts are not obedient to Christ? How much of your thinking is not in line with God's thinking? That's the renewing of our minds that needs to take place, so that our minds are totally at one with His mind. That we understand what it means to take every thought captive, not to allow any thinking in our lives that is contrary to the will of God. Not to allow any thinking that is in opposition to the Word of God or to the Spirit of God. Now, it's immediately obvious that we can only come to such a place as that by God working something in us. But that means for God to work what He needs to do in us, we have to cooperate with Him. Turn to Colossians. Chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Do everything in the name of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means everything you think will be in line with the way Jesus thinks. Everything you pray is what Jesus would pray. Everything you say is what Jesus says, or what Jesus would say in your situation. Everything you do is what Jesus would do. You can't do anything in the name of Jesus that is contrary to the way Jesus thinks, the way Jesus believes, the way Jesus prays, the way Jesus speaks, the way Jesus acts. And the Holy Spirit is given to us to live within us, to enable us to think, speak, pray, act in the name of Jesus. Now, it isn't that you have to try to change yourself in some way so that you become someone who is thinking, speaking, praying, acting more like Jesus. You already have Christ in you. I said you already have Christ in you. So it's a matter of allowing the Christ in us to express Himself through us. If you've got Christ in you, then the Scripture says you have the mind of Christ. Now you also have your natural mind. And that's why some of your thinking obviously does not come from the mind of Christ, but it comes from your natural thinking. So if we're to have our minds renewed so that our thinking comes in line with the mind of Christ, we have to submit our natural thinking to His thinking. Now, let's deal with the negative first of all. Because there are four things in the lives of Christians that are counterproductive to a life of faith. That means that Christians put their trust in four things other than God, His Word, and His Spirit at times. Now, we're all people of faith. God has given us the measure of faith. But that doesn't mean that we always walk consistently in faith. You see, a faith person is consistent in the way he thinks, the way he speaks, the way he acts. He doesn't fluctuate. One moment he's in the Spirit, the next moment he's in the flesh. One moment he's thinking with the mind of Christ, next he's giving way to his own thoughts. But he's learning to to take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, we're going to come against these four things that undermine faith in our lives. The first of them appears to be something that is good, and that is reason. And you will hear a lot of people, even a lot of Christians, say, well, God has given us the gift of reason, so we are able to think for ourselves. Well, if we think that that's the proper use of reason, we are misguided. Reason is a capacity of the mind that God has given us, but it has to be used in the right way. Reason is natural thinking. So when we depend upon our reason, we omit the possibility of the supernatural, which is like leaving Christ out of our thinking, leaving the Holy Spirit out of our expectations as to what is going to happen. So some people think, well, it's good to use our reason. It is, if we use it in the right way and not misuse it. Reason is not there to replace the revelation of the truth that God gives us. People of faith live by revelation, not by reason. And the proper use of reason is to listen to what God is saying, listen to the revelation he's bringing, and then use your reason to see how that then needs to be implemented in your life. So in other words, a Christian who lives by faith lives by revelation and uses his reason to process that revelation. But he never allows his reason to replace revelation. In other words, all his thinking is based upon the thinking of Jesus, of the truth, of the revelation that God has given us in his word and by his spirit. And you probably don't need to think too deeply to realize that so much of your thinking is at the natural level of reason rather than through the revelation of the truth. So there's a work there that God needs to do in us. And you see, there's no point in us just getting on our faces and seeking God if our thinking isn't right. And what God is saying to us this week is, get your thinking right tonight, and then you'll be able to meet with me in a much more glorious way than otherwise would be possible. So we can believe in the supernatural activity of God to do a work in us tonight, a supernatural work, that will actually take us to a new place of thinking, of revelation. The second way in which faith is undermined is by trusting in your feelings. And we all know how easy that is. And of course, one of the major deceptions that exists among believers is to think that your feelings are the truth about a situation. The way you feel about a situation is the truth about the situation. And your feelings are the most unreliable part of you, because your feelings can change from minute to minute, even from second to second. You can be feeling great and somebody can say something really negative to you and your feelings will immediately change. So, of course, again, we have emotions, but they are to be used in the right way, not the wrong way. Emotions are never to be the Lord of our lives. And you see, the Lord of your life is the one that you follow. Jesus said, follow me. He didn't say, follow reason. He didn't say, follow your feelings. He said, follow me. Now, your feelings are the product of your thinking. The way you think determines the way you feel. I could go into a long explanation of this, but there's not time. You just take my word for it. So if your thinking is right, then your emotions will come under the dominion of your right thinking. Even when you're in a situation where naturally your feelings would be negative, your thought processes, taking hold of the faith that you have, will actually prevent the negative feelings from taking over and controlling your circumstances. Are we there? So we're going to come against the very idea of living by our feelings, living by our emotions. It's good to have emotions when they're used in the proper way, to feel compassion and love and so on for people. But when negative feelings dominate our lives, we have stopped walking by faith. We're no longer thinking with the mind of Christ. We're no longer pleasing the Lord, we're grieving the Lord. The third thing that undermines faith is a trust in circumstances. To believe that what is happening is the truth. Let me give you a simple example. If somebody is diagnosed with a sickness, that is not the truth. It is a fact. The fact is that they have a disease, but it's not the truth. The truth is Jesus. The truth is what Jesus has done. The circumstances aren't the truth. Jesus is the truth. And when we put our trust in Jesus, he can change the circumstances. But if we believe the circumstances, we speak about the circumstances, because what you speak about is what you believe. If you believe in a problem, you will speak about the problem. You'll tell everybody about the problem. And even when you pray, you'll talk to God about the problem. But if you're living by faith, you're not living by the problem. You're living by the answer to the problem. You're living by the victory that Jesus has already won for us on the cross. So the confession of your mouth, what you speak, is faith over the circumstances. You don't speak about the mountain, you speak to the mountain to command it to move. Because the mountain is not the truth. The truth is what Jesus will do to the mountain when you address it with faith. Are we there? The fourth thing, of course, that undermines faith is the enemy. Listening to the lies and deceptions of the enemy. And the mind is one of the first lines of attack that the enemy has. He will challenge your thinking. He will try to get you to reason rather than believe. He will try to get you to believe in your feelings rather than to trust to the Lord. He will try to encourage you to think that the circumstances are so terrible and awful, nothing can happen, nothing can change, so that you're talking about the circumstances and not really operating by faith in those circumstances. He will do anything he can to lie and deceive and undermine your faith in God's word. Well, we know that God has given us authority over all the power of the evil one. And you can always tell the thoughts that have come from the enemy because they're negative. The Holy Spirit will never feed you a negative thought. Because the Holy Spirit, you see, has the same character as Jesus, who has the same character as the Father. God doesn't have three different characters, three persons, the way he reveals himself in three different ways. But each of those persons have the same character, the same characteristics. So whatever the Father is, the Son is, and whatever the Son is, the Holy Spirit is. So whether we talk about Christ in us or the Holy Spirit in us, doesn't really matter, because the same characteristics of God are there within us in his person. Are we all alive so far? So, we have the mind of Christ, the person of Christ, living within us, therefore the authority of Christ over all the power of the evil one, And we, if we are listening to the Word of God, if we're listening to the Spirit of God, everything He will feed to us will be positive. See, why does Jesus say don't judge? Because that's negative. So don't criticize your brother. Why? That's negative. But he says, he is in fact saying that's really coming from the enemy. It's not coming from the Holy Spirit. All judgment belongs to the Son. So if you are judging, you're listening to the enemy, you're being a mouthpiece for the enemy. Jesus says how important it is that we always forgive. So the Holy Spirit is always encouraging us to forgive. When we refuse to forgive, we're listening to the enemy. We're listening to thinking that undermines the truth. Are we there? So we need to come against all these negative things, but we need to be in that place of being wholeheartedly submitted to God and therefore to His thinking. If our thinking isn't right, our believing isn't right, and if our believing isn't right, our words won't be right, and if our words aren't right, our actions won't be right, and if our actions aren't right, the outcome won't be right. So when we see things that are not right in our circumstances, something is wrong in that chain of events. And often you can trace it right back to the thinking. Well, if the thinking was right, the believing would be right, and if the believing was right, the speaking would be right, and if the speaking was right, the actions would be right, and if the actions are right, the outcome will be right. So, you know, there's not much point in us just worshiping the Lord and saying, oh God, we want to meet with you in your holiness and glory and so on, if our thinking isn't right. And you can see why God says, okay, begin with your thinking. Because in the renewing of your lives, in the reformation, if you like, in the revival, whatever, it has to begin with your thinking. Now, I don't want to get into a long teaching about this, but just a few more minutes. Our thinking, therefore, has to be right about God. Who He is. That we know Him as the Lord Almighty, for whom nothing is impossible. So every time we pray, we're praying to the one for whom nothing is impossible. We're therefore wanting to please Him, and Jesus, and the Scripture says that without faith it is impossible to please God. So if we trust Him as the one who is almighty, and who is therefore able to change and transform whatever situation exists, either in our own lives or in the circumstances around us, then we're going to please God. And this is why Jesus not only said that for God nothing is impossible, He said also that all things are possible for he who believes. Now that's Jesus. All things are possible for you as a believer. We know He also said that anyone who believes in me would do the same things as I've done. Why? Because if we're believing in Him, we'll think like Him, we'll speak like Him, we'll pray like Him, we'll act like Him, and we'll see the results like He gets. Who wants to see more results like Jesus? All begins, you see, with our thinking, with having faith thinking. So we need to have the right thinking about God, who He is. He is our Lord. He is the Lord Almighty. Nothing is impossible for Him. He is the one who we serve and so on. But our faith is not only in who God is, our loving Father, our Holy Savior, and all that the Scriptures teach us about the nature and the character of God. Again, we'd need a whole evening just to begin to speak about that. But then we also have to believe in what God has done for us. Now, let me just make it very clear. Knowing what He's done is not the same as living by faith in what He's done. You can know a thing And yet that truth is not necessarily impacting your life in the way that God intends at that particular time. So if we believe what he has done for us on the cross, for example, if we believe in what the scripture says to us about the nature of his forgiveness, then we believe that as we stand before God, we stand holy, blameless, perfect, made perfect before him. Because the power of his blood has cleansed us of every imperfection. So every time we receive forgiveness from the Lord, we are restored to that place of righteousness or perfection in Christ that we read about in Hebrews chapter 10, that all those who are made holy are made perfect in Christ. We need to believe, therefore, that God has forgiven me all my past sins and failures, all the ways in which I've grieved him, all the ways in which I've failed to please him. He has forgiven me so thoroughly that as I stand before him, cleansed by his blood, he sees absolutely nothing wrong with me. Now, when you think negatively about yourself, you're not believing that. When you're speaking negatively about yourself, you're not believing what Jesus has made you. You're not believing that you are the new creation he says you are. You're thinking of yourself in an inferior way to what God has made you. If you think of yourself as unacceptable, you're denying the cross of Jesus Christ. You're denying the power of his blood, which has made you totally acceptable in his sight. So it's not that we are proud, but in fact, you can only think like this by being humble, by humbling your thinking before the thinking of God and saying, it's not the way I think about myself or feel about myself that is the truth. It's what you say about me is the truth. What you have done for me is the truth. What you have made me is the truth. That I'm living in Christ and Christ is living in me. I am totally acceptable in your sight. I am clothed with your righteousness. I am made holy and perfect in your sight. It's all the work of your mercy and grace. There's nothing I could ever have done to accomplish or achieve such a thing, but you have done it and I believe it. Now you see, when you believe that, it gives you confidence before God. Because you're not coming like a dog with its tail between its legs. You know, I had a dog who had a greater sense of sin than any Christian I've ever known. When he was a little puppy, if I had been out, as soon as I came in the door, he would come and he would sit before me with his tail between his legs and his head bowed, and then I'd have to find out what he'd done. But he always knew when he'd done something that he shouldn't have done. He was a very Christian dog. But you see, we can be so caught up with our failure and with a negative thinking about ourselves that we can't actually function at the level of faith that will please God, that will glorify him, that will produce the results that he wants to see in our lives. So we have to accept what he says, even though we may not feel that. Even though it might seem totally unreasonable. And you see, the devil will chivy at you with this one and say, how can you say that you are totally acceptable to God when you think like this? When what he's actually saying, when you listen to me. But the point is, we have authority against the living by reason, living by feelings, living by circumstances, living by the lies of the enemy. We live by the revelation of the truth. And this is why Jesus says, if you continue in the truth, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So, praise God. We believe in who he is. We believe in what he says about us. It's not what we're claiming for ourselves, but what he says about us. He also says that we are co-heirs with Christ. And that he has blessed us, not he will bless us, but he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Now, you know this stuff because we preach it regularly here at Kingdom Faith, but we put it all together tonight and see the work that God needs to do in us. But if I believe that I've been blessed, I think of as one who is blessed. I don't think as one who needs to be blessed. You see, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Why? Because he's blessed you in every way. And sometimes we ask God to bless us and wonder why things don't happen. And what God is saying, well, if you ask me to bless you and I've already blessed you, you don't believe that I've already blessed you. So your prayer is nonsense, really, because you're asking me to do what I have done instead of believing that I've done it. Hello? Now, if we're co-heirs with Christ, we can lay hold to our inheritance of everything that is in Christ. Whatever we need that is in him is ours to lay hold of, to appropriate by faith. So, yes, we've got to counteract those four negative things, but we've got to do the positive things of taking hold of the truth, believing that truth, thinking that truth, speaking that truth, acting according to that truth. We teach you about how important it is to confess the word, because to speak the word over our lives, because a scripture that says that your mouth has the power of life and death. Now, if Christians really believe that, they would be very much more careful about what they say. I think one of the most awesome things that Jesus said is that by his words, a man will be committed, and by his words he will be condemned. Not committed. Can't think of the right word now. But the way you think will either bring you release or will bring you condemnation. And the way you speak is according to the way everyone will be held to account, he says, for every careless word that they have spoken. How many careless words do we speak? Careless word is speaking without thinking faith. Is what I'm saying according to the truth of who God is, of what he has done for me, of who I am because I'm in Christ, according to the inheritance that he's given me. Now, those of you that have been Christians for some time, you may be able to reflect. It's by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. That's the scripture. But we will all have to give, everyone will have to give account for every careless word they've spoken, for by your words you will be acquitted, or by your words you will be condemned. It's awesome. Jesus said that. The Son of God, your Savior, the one who lives in you. He said that. So, shall we say this is the end of a careless words? Shall we agree together that what God wants to work in us is disciplined thinking?
Yes.
That will lead to disciplined speaking?
Yes.
That will lead to disciplined actions, because that would mean we'd be living as disciplined disciples. Amen? So, we could talk for a long time about how to lay hold of our inheritance. Basically, it's as simple as this. You must understand that God has designed the walk of faith to be exceedingly simple, so that the simplest of Christians that exists anywhere in the world is able to live by faith. The only thing that complicates it is unbelief. But when we live by faith, it's all very simple because we leave God in control. So we want to get to the simplicity of faith. As you know, I've had the privilege of experiencing revival at certain times. When you live in revival, everything is simple. It isn't that everything is sort of so aggressively spiritual. Everything is just simple. Things just happen so simply. Because people's faith is such in God that they leave Him to be in control. Believe Him to be in control of every situation. So, God wants us to take hold by faith of whatever it is in our inheritance as those who live in Christ and have Christ living in them, and apply that to the circumstances of our lives. So that's the action that needs to follow what we're going to do tonight. Because we're going to come against those negative things. We're going to begin this process of laying hold of the positive things. We're going to speak some positive truths over our lives. But I want you to understand this. Speaking the positive truth over your life doesn't make that positive happen unless you're speaking that truth from your heart. This is why Jesus says, when you speak to the mountain and command it to move, you must believe in your heart. It's not a question just of learning to speak words of faith or learning faith confessions. Those faith confessions need to come from the heart. If they're the overflow of the heart, then they will have the power to change circumstances. And what God wants is for us to have so much more authority and power in our praying, in our corporate life. I'm looking forward to things that I've seen in former times when anybody who comes in amongst us will just meet with God. They won't simply know that God is there, but they will meet with God. Even somebody who's never been to a church before, never been to a service before, will have an encounter with God. They won't need to be led to the Lord by somebody or, you know, they will just meet with God because of the sheer power and the dynamic of what is happening among His people. This is the place to which God is taking us. It shall be so. Amen. It shall be so. So God begins the work in us. Because we can hardly expect things like that to happen to people who don't even know the Lord, if we're not living in the reality ourselves. You see, the truth is this, that we can only reproduce ourselves in other people. So whatever level of faith you operate at, you can only reproduce that in somebody else. You can't reproduce a level of faith beyond your own level of faith. So the more we are actually living by faith ourselves, the more we will be able to impact others, the more they will simply come to that place of faith, even by just being amongst us. So hallelujah, is that good news?
And you see, when that begins to happen, more and more people will come. So that we will see more and more unsaved people coming every Sunday. And they may come unsaved but leave saved. Amen. Without anybody actually doing anything, but just because they've encountered God. So that's a good position to aim for, isn't it? But we've got to begin where we are. So, I've said enough, I think, for us to understand that we're already a people of faith. Don't let's undermine anything that is true for us already. But we can see there is room for improvement. Is that right? If anybody doesn't have any room for improvement, I'll sit down and you can come and take over. But there's a lot of room in my heart and life for improvement. I know that. And so I'm expecting God to take me to a greater and greater level of faith. You know, you're all reading, I trust, or have read, or are using the Lord's Orchard. And you see, if you look at that for a reason, you say, this is going to be difficult. If you look at it with the eyes of faith, you say, this is going to be simple. Because this is exactly what the Holy Spirit wants to work out in my life. All I've got to do is surrender to Him and He'll do it. And He'll do it section by section, part by part. It won't be difficult, it'll be easy. Because when the Spirit does something, it is easy. Because you haven't had to do anything except just trust Him. So faith is simple. It's simply trusting Jesus. It's thinking like Him, speaking like Him, praying like Him. You say, well, how can I do that? Well, He's in you. So let Him express Himself through you. And for that to happen more effectively, we're going to first come against those four things: the reason, the feelings, the trusting in the circumstances, listening to the negatives of the enemy. It is so simple. If it's negative, it hasn't come from God. It's either come from the enemy or from someone else or from your own flesh. If it's positive, it's the Lord. Amen. In all things, say all things. In all things, He is working for your good. That's positive. We're not working for the negative, He's working for your good. Positive. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Now, just before we start to pray, I want you to understand that what you're going to do in the next period, this evening, is you're actually going to meet with God. This is just as much meeting with God as being on your face and worshiping Him in His holiness. In many different ways of meeting with God. But now you're meeting with God, meeting with Him in the truth, meeting with Him in faith, meeting with Him in His Word, meeting with Him in the power of His Spirit. Meeting with Him in a way that you need to meet with Him. Hallelujah. So we humble ourselves before Him, because we can only have our minds renewed if we humble ourselves. You see, the intellectually proud are the most difficult people to ever live by faith, because they believe their thinking rather than God's revelation. Clever people find it very difficult to be people of faith until they have surrendered their intellect to the Lord. So whoever you are, clever or not so clever, just begin now by talking to Jesus humbling yourself before Him, humbling your thinking before His thinking. Thank Him that He is the truth. Truth is the person of Jesus. And you humble yourself before the person of Jesus. His words are the words of truth. So you humble yourself before His words. Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So you humble yourself before the Spirit of truth and you say, Holy Spirit of truth, guide me into all the truth. Thank you that my inheritance is to know that Jesus is the Amen, is the let it be so, to every promise that you have given. Thank you that every promise you have given is a promise you have made to me as a child of God. So I humble myself before you, Lord, before the thinking of your word, the revelation of the truth. I humble myself before your Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, guide me into all the truth. Teach me the truth. Bear witness to me of the truth in every situation where I'm placed. May I be increasingly sensitive to the voice of your Spirit in my life, Lord. That I will not only hear you, but I will respond to everything, to every revelation that you bring, to every witness that you give in my heart. Now, Lord, I ask you to forgive all the ways in which I've trusted myself and my own thinking, where I've trusted to reason and feelings and circumstances and even sometimes thoughts that have negative and that have come from the enemy. False condemnation and accusation that he brings against your children. Forgive me, Lord, for every past failure to live by faith and trust in you. If you're conscious of some particular ways in which that's true for you, then just speak those out to the Lord now. If you realize there have been strongholds of wrong thinking in your life, a stronghold is where you constantly think in a way that is not true to God's word. Now, we have the divine weapons that are mighty to the pulling down of those strongholds, but we can't pull them down until first we've confessed them and say, Lord, forgive me for allowing the strongholds of negativity, of wrong thinking about you, wrong thinking about myself, wrong thinking about others. Thank you, Lord, for the cleansing power of your blood. I ask you to wash me afresh right now with that blood, that it cleanses all those negative things, all the past sin, all the past failure, so that now, according to your word, I stand blameless made worthy, holy, made perfect in your sight, washed all the impurities, washed out of my heart, washed out of my thinking, washed out of my mind, all the impurities of my thinking, Lord, washed away by your precious blood. Just begin to thank the Lord for that. Praise Him for that. Believe that. Every impurity, all the selfish thinking, He's washing away. All the self-concern, He's washing away. All that pride of intellect, He's washing away. As you confess it, He's setting you free from it. Depending upon your reason, exalting your thoughts above the thoughts of God, when the Word of God says that His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So thank Him that He's cleansing you now. He's setting you free from all those occasions when you have disagreed with God in your thinking. You have believed your thoughts rather than His thoughts. You're repenting of that. Repentance means a change of mind, a change of thinking. So why don't you surrender to His thinking afresh and say, Lord, thank you that you forgive me for raising my thoughts above your thoughts, but I surrender my whole thinking. I surrender my intellect. I surrender my powers of reasoning to you tonight so that I will use my reason in the right way for which you gave it to me, to take hold of the revelation of the truth and process that in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Now thank the Lord that He's cleansing you from all the sin and failure that has resulted when you've trusted in your feelings rather than in the revelation of the truth. Oh Lord, thank you that right now that cleansing of your blood frees us from all that stupidity of believing our feelings that are so fickle, of believing our feelings are the truth instead of the revelation of your word being the truth, instead of Jesus being the truth, instead of your spirit being the spirit of truth. Thank you, Lord, that you cleanse all these things. Thank you for the power of your blood setting us free from those things completely. Completely, right now, not sometime in the future, not having to take us through a process, but right now, right now, right now, cleansing us from grieving you by believing our feelings instead of believing you. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We bless your holy name. Come on, really praise the Lord. Thank you for that. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now thank Him that He's freeing you from the sin of believing your circumstances to be the truth, when He is the truth that changes the circumstances. Just ask Him to forgive all those times when you've spoken about the problem, when you've believed the problem, when you've allowed the problem to dominate your life instead of you dominating the problem. Come on, just bring all this to the Lord and say, oh, thank you, Lord, that the power of your blood is so powerful. It is so effective. That cleansing power is just so wonderful that it cleanses me of all the failure, of all the guilt attached not only to believing my own thinking, not only to believing my feelings, but to believing the circumstances. And thank you, Lord, that you are working in me a faith that will transform circumstances. That every time I come against a mountain, it's going to be moved. The circumstances are going to be changed. Situations are going to be transformed. Thank you for the cleansing power of your blood. Thank you, Lord. I came in here as one person, but I'm going to leave this room tonight as a different person, cleansed of all these things. to begin a new walk of faith with you. And I praise you and I bless you and I thank you. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, I also ask you to cleanse me, to forgive me for all the ways in which I've listened to the enemy, those negative thoughts, those lies, those accusations, the false condemnation, the way he's tried to get me to focus on myself and my feelings and my failures. Forgive me, Lord, when I've listened to the negatives that have perhaps been spoken to me through other people, really been the enemy speaking through them. And now, Lord, I close the door, shut the door right in the face of the enemy. I'm taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. And I'm shutting the door in his face, and I'm locking that door. And I'm saying that door is not going to be open to any more negatives. I'm not going to believe any more of his lies. I'm not going to be the victim of any of his accusations. I am a child of God, set free, made whole, forgiven, made righteous, made holy, living in Christ, with Christ living in me, and I refuse to believe any of the lies of the enemy. The door to my mind is shut in his face, and it is locked and will not be open to any of deception ever again. Hallelujah. Come on, praise God. Praise God. Praise him. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Korala bazara balanda. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Now, you know, when negative thoughts will still be thrown at you, right? But you have the shield of faith. And they're not going to influence you anymore. But the enemy will try to get you to think that because you have those thoughts, you are not really free. That's the way he deceives. And you can say to him, I am completely free. I reject that negative thought. I'm not accepting it. It's not the truth. It hasn't come from God. And I'm not having it in my mind. In Jesus' name. Whether it's a negative thought about yourself, whether it's a negative thought about someone else, whether it's a negative attitude towards your circumstances, it's rejected. It doesn't belong to you. It's not part of your faith life. It's not part of your life in Christ. It hasn't come from Christ in you. It hasn't come from the anointing of the Holy One in you. And it has nothing to do with you. Hallelujah. Come on, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's really praise him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Oh, I praise you, Lord. I bless you. I thank you. Hallelujah. Now, just spend a few minutes thanking the Lord, speaking out loud, not just thinking, because nobody else is listening to you. They're too busy talking to the Lord. But speak it out aloud. Thank him for all the truth about who you are, who you really are. Thank you. Thank him that you're saved. Thank him that you're living in Christ. Thank him that Christ is living in you. Thank him that you're completely acceptable in God's sight. Thank him that he's made you righteous. Thank you that he's made you holy. Thank you that you stand in his grace every day. Thank him that his mercy is always abounding to you whenever you need it.
Come on, just thank you. Pour out your heart in thanksgiving. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Speak it out loud. Don't just mumble and mutter. Speak it out. Come on, declare it. Person of faith speaks. You're not in a place of faith till you speak it. Thinking it isn't faith. Speaking it is faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you that I'm a co-heir with Christ. Thank you that you have blessed me in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Thank you, Lord, you have given me the fullness of life. Thank you, Lord, that I lack nothing good according to your word. And I praise you and I bless you. I praise and exalt your wonderful and your holy name. Thank you for the power of your blood. Thank you that you have cleansed me. Thank you that you have fully accepted me. Thank you, Lord, that you have washed me and made me holy and righteous, pure in your sight. Hallelujah. Thank you for the power of your blood that has worked that in me afresh tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, oh, hallelujah. Come on, shout your praises to the Lord. Oh, come on, make a joyful noise. Oh, praise you, Lord, praise you, Lord, praise you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, Jesus. Right now, what we're going to do next is set some faith objectives. These faith objectives are believing that by the end of these 28 days, what have been problems in the past, they are going to be resolved. Now, whether it's a situation in your own life, whether it's a situation in somebody else that you've been praying for, family members, friends, or wherever, work, or whatever it may be. But there is going to be transformation, not just because you pray at this moment, but because you're going to walk by faith, believing that outcome. You see, when you operate in faith, the scripture says faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. Now, that the answer to that situation may be hope in the sense that it lies in the future. You may not be able to see the answer at this moment. It may be a situation that has gone on for years or months or just for days. But your faith now says, I'm sure and certain that within these next 28 days, I'm going to see this situation resolved or dramatically transformed. Now, if that means that God has to really deal with certain people or reveal himself to them or do something to transform whatever is going on in their lives, then you believe God to do that. And I want you to walk in this faith day by day for these 28 days. Hold that faith objective before him. Say, Lord, I believe. I thank you. I thank you for the resolution of this situation. So just bring those situations before the Lord now. Again, speak. Don't just think. Just speak quietly. You don't have to speak so everybody else, because some of these things may be quite private but confidential. But just speak to him. Speak words. Move your lips and speak the words. That's the important thing. Thinking thoughts is not prayer. Speaking. Jesus says ask. He doesn't say think and it will be given you. He says, ask and it will be given you. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide your praying for these 28 days concerning those situations. Maybe you're praying for unsaved people. There's going to be a breakthrough in their lives to bring them through to salvation. Maybe people in sickness, there's going to be a breakthrough. Doesn't matter how major the sickness, there's going to be a breakthrough. Because God is laying on your heart to pray for those people now. Maybe relationship problems, there's going to be a breakthrough. Hallelujah. So your faith objective for these 28 days is not just what God is going to work in you, but what is God is going to work through you in these circumstances. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now just agree with him that you're not going to think negatively about these situations anymore. You're not going to think it's impossible. I pray for so long and nothing's happened. But now you have a different mentality, a different attitude, different level of faith. You are going to see resolution. You're going to see answers. Doesn't mean that it'll take 28 days. Many of these things may take much less than that. But you're going to persevere because a person of faith perseveres. Yes.
Amen. Thanks. Amen.
Jesus says that those who bear a hundredfold fruit are those who persevere in their faith. They hold fast to the word of God with an honest and good heart. So just say, Lord, I'm going to persevere. Thank you that you've made me a faith person. Come on, just confess that over your life. I'm a faith person. And whenever I pray, it's going to be with faith. And when a person prays with faith, they pray with positive expectation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. Transformation in every one of these situations. Okay, now, I want you to thank the Lord that before the 28 days is over, you will be able to write an orange card and put it in on a Sunday morning about this situation. Come on, thank him for that. Thank you, Lord, that it's going to be an orange card. Thanking you for what you've done in that situation. Agree with him that you will write that card. Because it will give him glory and it will bless others. It will encourage others. Hallelujah. Come on, let's really thank him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Pura labazadabari alera bakalasukuri sangam. Okay, one last thing. Joy is the barometer of your faith. How can you tell when you're walking in faith? You are joyful. You're rejoicing in the Lord always. Even in the most trying of circumstances, that doesn't steal your joy in the Lord. Right? You still rejoice in the Lord. So let's have the band up because we're going to rejoice. It's dancing time. So you better sing us something that we can dance to, okay? Because we want to express our joy, yes? Yes, yes, yes?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
So come on, let's come out of the safety and security of our seats. Let's not hide among the chairs. Thank the Lord you've got dancing feet. Listen, I'm going to read, just before we praise him, I'm going to read the scripture we read at the beginning. Because I'm going to read the verse that went before. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship.
Yes.
So, if you're going to... And we're to worship in the Spirit, yes?
Yes.
So, if you worship in the Spirit, your body's got to be involved.
Yes.
Not just your mouth. Right? Read the Psalms... And you'll see that constantly it talks about clapping your hands, dancing before the Lord, jumping and leaping for joy. As all the way through the Psalms, there's instructions about what to do with your body. And that's Old Testament, and the New Testament worship is even better and freer. Somebody once said to me, well, I'm free not to dance. So I said, praise God, now prove to me that you're free to dance. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, I want you to understand something. I'm not just blathering here. I'm talking about a spiritual truth. When you do something that is not natural to you, what you would naturally do, it breaks the hold of that natural thing over your life.
Yes.
And you're no longer restricted by believing the natural. Now you believe the revelation of God's word, and you act accordingly. Amen? So I don't mind dancing, leaping, and skipping for joy. So come on, let's rejoice in the Lord.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Praise God.